Hit it. Welcome to the Barrel Rollers podcast for the week of July 19th, 2009, episode 17, Magazines Losing Readership Thanks to People Like Us. I'm Cody.
And I'm Nick.
And this is the Barrel Rollers podcast where we talk about video games, everything dealing with news too. Actually, that's all we talk about is news. And that's because during these troubled times, we don't have money for games. And just to point this out, we got an email from Sam asking us what our thoughts were on Battlefield 1943. And I got to say, that game's only available for PS3 and 360. Nick doesn't own a 360, and I'm too poor to spend the $15 to buy it. So, Sam, I'm very sorry. But to avoid this problem again, on our website, all the way on the right-hand side, me and Nick actually posted a link of all video games we have. And, yeah, we actually do have that many video games. I mean, mine was in the hundreds, and I think Nick's, yours was, like, in the 80s or 90s.
Yeah, it was quite a few.
Yeah, there was a lot. So I just updated mine today with Fallout 3. So, if you guys want to know what games we have, on the website, on the right-hand side, we sort it out by person, and then we sort it out by console, so you can see what games I have on PC, what games I have on Steam, console, stuff like that. But dealing with our show title, I was thinking the other day, I had a stack of about 4 or 5 magazines from Game Informer to Nintendo Power that had just been stacking up that I had been meaning to read, and I could not find the will to read them. And then this weekend, I'm like, okay, those have been sitting there for 4 months. I'm going to read them. And the first one I picked up was from 4 months ago. It was Bioshock 2 from Game Informer. And I'm looking through it, and I'm like, read it, knew it. And I started to think, everything in these magazines seems like it came out later than you would expect it to. So my question is, are video game magazines a dying industry?
Yeah, that's a really great question, actually. I mean, with the internet now, you get news from video games in like a split second. Case in point. During E3, you get live feed right from the event on so many websites, Game Trailers, GameSpot, IGN.
I went to CNET.
CNET, all kinds of internet sites. You can get live direct feed from the show. Whereas I subscribed to Nintendo Power, they had their E3 coverage magazine over a month after the show.
It was ridiculous.
So I already knew most of what had happened in the show. Sure, Nintendo Power, because it's a little closely associated with Nintendo. They had a few extra things that I didn't know about. But for the most part, it was just like rereading everything I had already read like over a month ago. Like just having a format like a magazine that isn't instantaneous like that, it's just not – especially a monthly magazine, it's just not very quick on – getting stuff like that to you really fast.
No, exactly. And it's the same reason why the newspaper industry is starting to die is because you can't have a weekly newspaper. Hell, in most cases, you can't even have a daily newspaper because people will know the news within like a couple hours of it happening. I mean, great example is when Michael Jackson died, the first place I heard about it was on Twitter. And I came out of my room and I'm like, Dad, I think Michael Jackson died. And he's like, don't say such a thing. Where'd you hear that? And I'm like, on Twitter. And an hour later, let alone on the NBC News, they were like, Michael Jackson died. And my dad was like, oh, shit. So, I don't think this is just for video games. I think in general, the internet is making everything more accessible. And I feel like I said, not just with video game magazines, but all subscription-based media of any kind, it's just dying if it's not instantaneous.
We're at a point now where it seems like the internet is even faster than TV. They can get news up on the internet through sites like Twitter and, I mean, even like CNN and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
That they would have to write a story for and do all that kind of stuff before they can break in to do a live special report on TV. So
no,
the internet is just so instantaneously fast that there's just not a lot of competition anymore for it, especially with like newspapers and stuff like that.
Right. And it's great that you bring up CNN because I feel like they're one of the few that's actually evolving. And what they'll do is like they have close to 24-hour news. And what they'll do in the middle of a program is they'll literally bring up Twitter on the screen and just start reading tweets that were just sent to them. So, I mean, they are probably the closest to instantaneous media you will get that's not on the internet.
Yeah, no, definitely agree on that. But back to video game magazines, I know Nintendo Power a few years ago changed their format of their magazine because of this exact reason. When Nintendo Power first came out in the late 80s, they were a magazine that was all about video game codes and cheats and walkthroughs. And it was that way up until like 2005 or 4 or somewhere around there. But around that time, Nintendo Power decided to change their format to be a video game preview and news mag and review and news magazine, as opposed to a cheat code and walkthrough magazine, because it's those things are so readily available online.
Yeah, that does make sense. And now that I think about it, it would be pointless to do cheat codes because hardly any video games have them now. But yeah, that does make a lot of sense. And I feel like the only reason why you would subscribe to a magazine now is for special like deals. And I think the only one that really does that is Nintendo. I mean, yeah, there are ads inside the thing, inside the magazine, but there are definitely a lot of them that are like, get this limited. Like, I mean, you and I, when we resubscribed to Nintendo Power a couple years ago, we got a free Phantom Hourglass Player's Guide.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I mean, I don't get it just for that.
No, I understand.
I mean, Nintendo Power is pretty much and always has been the biggest for news on Nintendo. And I mean, if you're into Nintendo, they have a lot of exclusive stuff that you can't really find online. They always seem to get the new Nintendo news first before everybody else.
Well, yeah.
But
They're basically as close to a branch of Nintendo as you can get without being owned by Nintendo.
plus, like, I'd hate to see a magazine like that die. So, by subscribing to it, you are kind of supporting its efforts. And I think it's making a good effort to try to at least compete with the internet and stuff like that. And I think a lot of the other video game magazines, like Game Informer and stuff like that, are doing it too. You know, it's breakfast table reading. You don't like flip through different websites and stuff when you're sitting eating breakfast and
I
stuff.
do.
But like, well, I don't know. It's just it's different. It's like reading a newspaper versus watching TV versus going on CNN. It's just like different, and there's more like full-fledged articles and fleshed out previews and stuff like that than you can usually find online.
Right. And I think at this point, the only reason to actually subscribe to these things is one, for the special deals that you get, and two, just because they're a collector's item. I know, when I first subscribed to Nintendo Power, it was like back in like 96. I subscribed for like 8 years, and then I went through a phase of like 2 years where I didn't game at all. And eventually I got rid of all of those magazines. And once I got back into gaming, I resubscribed to Nintendo Power. I was like, "Mom, do you still have those magazines?" And she's like, "No, I got rid of them." I'm like, "Holy shit, you just got rid of 50 magazines that could be considered a collector's item."
Yeah, I mean, I threw away a lot of my old issues too, but I kept the ones that I like the best.
Right.
But yeah, I guess
But
that's video game magazines. They are a dying franchise, and I think the testament to how good they are is how well they'll be able to adapt to the information age.
right. Well, I got a 2 year subscription that'll end in December of 2010. So I have another year and a half to decide if I want to keep it or not. But I want to, this is a little more tangent, but I want to get on the point that Game Informer is basically sponsored by GameStop. If you go to GameStop and it's like $15 a year, you get a card that you get like 10% off used stuff, and then you get 10% more when you trade stuff in. But also with the $15, you instantly get a year's supply of Game Informer. So I feel like Game Informer is like, if they didn't have GameStop, they'd probably be dead.
Yeah. And I mean, like we talked about before, even gaming stores are having a hard time now. But I mean, that's a whole different topic.
Yeah, that is a whole different topic. I think we've beaten video game magazines to death. But in the long run, do you think they will survive, or do you think they'll die?
I think there'll come a point where magazines in general will die, but I think it's still a long way off,
I think
so.
they'll. I think I do agree. I think they'll probably. I do think they will die, but I feel like there will be the few that evolve into like complete like web magazine type stuff, kind of like the New York Times. The
Exactly.
New York Times is doing with their internet content now.
Yeah, exactly. I think there'll come a time where all magazines that we know now will be web-based magazines.
Oh, I just thought of something interesting. What if IGN and like these places like Game Informer create a deal in which Game Informer articles get published on IGN before they get put out in the magazine?
Yeah, well, that would be the death of the magazine right there.
Yeah, but that would be interesting because then you'd be getting magazine type content instantaneous or as quicker than you would in a regular magazine.
Right, but like I
That would be
said,
good.
that would instantly kill the magazine. There
But
would
it.
be no reason to buy it anymore.
Right. Okay, we definitely beat magazines to death. But you know what also is being beaten to death is No More Heroes. And that's not the general public's feeling, that's actually the creator's feeling. This Kotaku article says no more heroes for the Wii. And basically what it's saying is that the creator of No More Heroes feels that he cannot figure out any way to create another No More Heroes game that isn't the same as it was before. He basically the Wii has lost creativity for the franchise. And I feel kind of bad because it was a great series.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those games that seemed like, I'm sorry, it's one of those games that just kind of seems like it's a very Wii, like it's a very Wii exclusive game, and I don't know, like I guess it's just one of those games where the creator just doesn't feel like they can push the Wii hardware any further, which I don't completely understand, like I mean, like, I know the other systems are much more powerful, but like, I don't know.
No,
With
I
like
don't think this
the
has
GeForce
anything. I don't
Plus
think.
and stuff coming out, I'm not really sure. So like, I'm just wondering like what you can do with the franchise on other systems that you couldn't do on the Wii.
No, here's the thing. He doesn't say that he's not going to go to other systems. He doesn't say that it's because of the limitations of the Wii. He just says that the creativity, he can't think of enough new ideas to put into a new game that would make him want to develop a new game. So.
No. That's not what the article says.
What does the article say?
The quote from Suda51 is, "I think No More Heroes 2 is the last No More Heroes that is going to be developed on the Wii. To expand No More Heroes to new possibilities, we need a new platform. Wii is a great platform, but we've done everything we can with it now."
Okay. That that
So
that
what he's
does
saying
that.
is that they need a he wants to develop No More Heroes for a different platform in order to bring it further.
But that does not mean it's going to be on the 360 or the PS3. I
No,
think
no,
what
no. I just suggested that those are two possible platforms.
I think what this article is hinting at is that he is probably going to make a No More Heroes for the system that follows the Wii.
Possibly. That's true too. If I mean, Suda51 has been pretty Nintendo loyal
Right.
over the past few years, but I don't know. It doesn't. I mean, it could be anything. It could be another system or like the next Nintendo system, or I don't really know. But the new No More Heroes 2 is coming out, when is
January
it?
of next year, I think.
January of next year. And after that, he says that there's probably not going to be No More Heroes, any more No More Heroes games for the Wii. So, I don't
I
know.
think he's waiting for another system.
He could just be waiting for another Nintendo system. I don't really know. But judging on the fact that mature games on the Wii have really not been selling,
No, they haven't. I mean,
Mad World.
even the conduit, it just hit like 250,000 like this week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could attribute that to the game got pretty bad reviews. But take a game like Mad World, for instance. It got great reviews, and yet it still failed to sell a whole lot simply because it's a mature rated game on a platform that many people don't consider to be a mature gamer's platform, which
Right.
is unfortunate because there are some good games being made for it that people aren't playing simply because they don't have a Wii because it's viewed as a more casual platform. And
Right.
I think it's something that Sega especially is trying to get the Wii out of, but to be honest, Nintendo's not helping at all.
I would have disagreed if they did not show Metroid Other M at E3, because I feel like that is a huge push.
Oh, well, like, definitely. It's a push towards more mature games, but I don't know. When you consider one game like that versus think of every other game Nintendo showed off at E3, none of them are even close to mature rated.
Dude, I wouldn't say that they're mature rated, but I gotta say, Golden Sun has a huge following of
Right. Or, like, I mean, I could argue that even, like, Super Mario Galaxy 2 is a more mature game, but, like, to even think of New Super Mario Brothers for the Wii, that game seems geared right towards casual players, even though it's a game based on one of their classic hardcore franchises. I'm just scared that Nintendo is losing their heart. I mean, I buy Nintendo still because I want to play their hardcore games like Zelda and Mario, and if they're making the new games to geared towards casual players, then there's not a whole lot left. Think
Right.
of the new Mario Kart, for instance.
Oh my
Mario Kart
God.
was viewed as a hardcore game until Mario Kart Wii came out, and now they made it so casual friendly that hardcore gamers are kind of turned off by it.
Is that like the most unfair game ever?
I'm pretty sure it is because it seems to favor the casual player.
No, it seems to favor the person in last place.
Right, the casual player
No one said
who,
casual players aren't last place.
what I'm saying is somebody that doesn't play, if a person that doesn't play the game a whole lot plays with someone that plays the game a ton, you would expect the person that doesn't play a lot to be behind the person that plays all the time. But in a game like Mario Kart Wii, you just never know. And I think hardcore players are looking at that and saying, I can work my butt off at trying to get good at this game, and yet I could still lose to somebody who just picked up the controller. That doesn't sound like fun, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, I don't know if Nintendo's really got it. I mean, they have the casual audience right now in the palm of their hand, but they're losing the
Hardcore
audience that
games.
made them popular in the
No,
first
exactly.
place.
Exactly. And it's really sad. And I gotta say though, one thing that didn't help him was no HD.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, I mean, I think people are smarter than just saying, like, oh, I buy a game because of pretty graphics. That was something that was like 5, 10 years ago that all people cared about was how pretty games look. And there was a push for better and better graphics. But I kind of think a lot of people are past that now, and they realize that it's the gameplay that really carries a game. And I mean, if you just make the game so casual friendly and so drained in hardcore gameplay, people are just going to be turned off by it.
I will say this though, it definitely doesn't matter. I don't think graphics play as an important role as everyone thinks, but I will say graphics do matter. And even on 480p, the Wii still doesn't look good.
Right, but like what I'm saying is, people don't say, oh, I'm going out to buy the new Call of Duty because the graphics are awesome. Like
I think that's
they
part of it.
what I'm saying is, like, that was more of an argument in the past where games just kept pushing for better and better graphics. Now it's like, I'm going to buy the new Call of Duty game because the online is so damn awesome
It is.
and all that kind of stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's
Yeah.
not so much about graphics as it was in the past
Also,
where
it's been.
every system had like this huge graphical leap.
Yeah. Also, it's actually been known that Call of Duty has the second best first person shooter type controls on it. Speaking of Call of Duty, did you hear about this new Prestige Edition for Modern Warfare 2?
No, I mean, I heard you talking about it a little bit, but like
This
I
is
hadn't.
ridiculous. Most games they'll have the original game and then they'll have like this collector's edition. But freaking Infinity Ward has to go one up everything. They have the regular game, which is gonna be like 50, 60 bucks. They have the collector's edition, which has a better case and like there might be some bonus content in it, and that's 90 bucks. And then they have the Prestige edition. Now, this not only comes with the collector's edition, that's $90, it comes with a booklet. Of it's like it's gotta be like 30 something pages worth of like of content like concept art and stuff like that. It looks like it comes with the Call of Duty 1 Xbox Live Arcade download in the game. But no, it doesn't end there. They have to get frickin' night vision goggles, and not plastic night vision goggles. These are like legit military grade working night vision goggles, and then they give you basically a model of one of the heads of the Call of Duty characters so that you can put it on him while you're not wearing them. What the hell?
I don't even know what to say to that. Do they really think including night vision goggles is going to make the game sell better?
Yes! Are you kidding me? Here's the thing. I would buy this just for the night vision goggles because, one, I can't think of a place to actually buy military grade night vision goggles without getting them illegally. And two, it's Call of Duty, dude. I mean, it's one
Oh, I
thing.
know, but what I'm saying is, are people going to pay the extra? Like, Joystick right now is
It's
reporting that
150.
it's going to cost like $150. That's like $90 more than the game itself. Do you think people are going to spend the extra $90 for a pair of night vision goggles?
Military grade night vision goggles, yes.
Are they mil I don't know if they're military grade though.
I think that
It just says that night vision goggles. They're not sure how well they work or anything.
it doesn't say it on this Engadget article, but I think I read somewhere that they're as close to military grade as you can get without actually being in the military.
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, night vision goggles are damn cool. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I'd love a pair of night vision goggles, but like, I don't know. Something about it is just like, I don't know.
Dude, I gotta say though, next time we play Manhunt, if I bring these, you guys are all dead.
Yeah, then you'll be cheating.
Exactly. But I do have a problem with this, and my only problem with this is that it only comes with a 360. There's no PC version available.
Of the bundle?
Right, there's no Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 PC bundle in which you get night vision goggles.
Oh, yeah,
And
Modern Warfare 2 is only it's 360, PS3 and
PC.
PC. Yeah, there's no Wii version any
I'm
I
not
thought
talking
there
about a
was
Wii version.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is I thought there was originally a Wii version announced, but I guess that had been taken off for whatever reason.
Eh, doesn't matter. I want this bundle with PC. And the reason why is because PC is the best first-person shooter experience. I don't want to have to buy the 360 version just for these night vision goggles.
Well, they didn't. There's nothing on this that says that it's not going to be included in the PC version, even though
Yeah, but
there's no
here's the
PC
thing.
box in the picture.
No one has bundles for PC games because most people get them online.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah. I don't know. I guess you'll just have to wait to find out.
You know what would be even better is if you could use the night vision goggles while playing the game.
Yeah, that would be pretty crazy and kind of creepy.
That'd be like
Just
just imagine.
turn your monitor brightness down.
No, exact. Just imagine like someone walks in on you playing this game and you're in the dark with this giant like cannon coming out of your eyes.
Yep.
Oh my
Telling you,
God,
just
that.
turn your monitor resolution down, turn all the lights off, and yes, you'll be able to wear it while you're playing.
Oh my God. And you know what's the opposite of camera coming out of your eyes? A camera watching your eyes. And apparently the PlayStation camera is going to be supporting facial recognition.
That's crazy.
Like, I'm sorry.
I
Okay.
wonder where they
Yeah,
got that idea.
exactly. And here's the thing I was trying to tell you before, or I was trying to explain to you before, is that the way they talked about the PSI was that it was going to be working like mocap, in which on the controller or the PlayStation Wand controllers there were LEDs or infrared emitters of some sort, and that the camera would pick up on the LEDs or infrared
Right,
emitters.
it's like a reverse Wii
Exactly.
thing.
But the problem I have with this is that there are no LEDs or infrared sensors coming out of my face, so I don't think this is going to work.
I mean, obviously the camera is more than just a regular mocap camera, if that's the case
It
then.
must be.
I mean, I'm sure the camera can recognize more than just LEDs if it's gonna do facial recognition and stuff like that. But let's talk about this. I wonder where they got that
Yeah,
idea. I'm
exactly.
so sick of Sony copying everybody else's ideas.
I'm sorry, does Project Milo come into play?
Yeah, has anybody at Sony ever heard of Project Natal? Like, I mean,
Unbelievable.
it's like ridiculous how quick Sony is to just try to cash in on everybody else's ideas. I know people hate how we blast Sony a lot, but like,
But
really,
seriously.
with something like this. I mean, really, I mean, they did. It looks like it's the exact same thing that happened with their controller. Do you remember at E3 a few years ago, Nintendo announced the Wii Remote? And then within like a month or two, Sony was like, yeah, we're going to have motion sensing in our controller too. Like, it's just, it never ends with this company. They just love to cash in on everybody else's ideas, and this is like the same thing.
I feel like they have an entire like cork board and they put sticky notes on it, and the cork board says deals, ideas we can steal, and then they just throw darts at the sticky notes trying to figure out which ideas they're going to come up with next.
Exactly. They just post every cool feature about the Nintendo's and Microsoft's consoles and just throw darts at them to see which ones they think they can do.
$20 says their next game is going to be like Great PS3 Battle, and it's going to have like Snake versus Kratos from God of War.
Yeah, and they're gonna have a tech demo called Myla, which you're gonna be talking to this girl who lives on this farm.
Unbelievable.
And she's
Unbelievable.
gonna look and talk like Oliver Twist.
I gotta say, though, dude, British accents are pretty badass in video games.
Yeah, no, I know. But
Like,
like,
it.
come on. Come on, Sony. Come on. Think of something original. Just, you know, everybody just like get together one day, sit around a table, and don't leave the room until you come up some with something original and cool. Because I haven't seen anything, any new features for your system that I haven't seen on the other
You
systems.
know, I bet a couple of years ago someone just walked in talking about his new George Foreman grill, and someone was like, "Hey, that's a good idea. Put it up there." And he put a George Foreman grill sticky note on there and a dart
And it
hit it,
got
and they're going to
chipped.
be like, "How can we make our new console into a George Foreman grill?" And let alone they did. 'Cause seriously, every time I look at that from the side, I think of George Foreman grill more and more.
So true. What else do we got, Cody?
Okay, US video game sales had its biggest drop in 9 years. In June, it was reported that video game sales were down by one third, its lowest peak since like the year 2000, which everyone's like, "Oh my God, the video game industry is finally not recession proof." Yeah, how many good games came out in June? Okay, put it this way, how many good games came out since the beginning of this year?
Yeah, I mean, there were some, but not like a ton.
Okay, I can think of like two or three off the top of my head. Halo Wars, Resident Evil. I'm done.
The only game that, according to GameSpot, the only game that did decent during the month of June was Red Faction Guerrilla,
Oh, that's
which
another good one. That's another good one.
doesn't really surprise me because that looked pretty
Oh my
badass, I'm
God, the
not
tech
gonna lie.
demo. I played the demo of that, and oh my. Like, if you heard of destructible environments, you haven't seen anything until you played this game.
Yup.
Like,
But
it's.
apparently, the Conduit did very poorly with only less than 72,000 copies of the game sold.
Which is
And
sad.
Mad World sold just, well, I mean, back in March when Mad World hit, it sold less than 66,000 copies of the game. Grand Slam Tennis did not do that good. It got okay reviews too, but it sold only 54,000 copies after its June 8th launch.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going on. I mean,
Now here's the
I
thing, and we actually took a story out about used game sales, and the article was basically saying that game developers should not complain because publishers of books and like records and stuff and DVDs don't get sales for used don't get commission for used game sales. But here's the thing. Do you know why I buy used games? It's not because I want to shaft the video game companies. It's because I want to spend $30 versus 60. You wonder why the video game industry sucked in June? Why don't you bring down your damn prices?
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. Well, like, actually, I was thinking about this the other day. You know how much Wii games are? $50. You know how much an NES game was when it originally came out?
Like $50.
$50. So, like, the price of video games, even with deflation, hasn't really changed over the last few years. So, I'm wondering what else.
Yeah, but if you think about
They
it,
can't really bring down their prices anymore.
no. Xbox games were $50. Xbox 360 games went up to $60 to $65.
Right. I
So
mean, maybe.
maybe if they brought them down to maybe 50 is just the magic number for people.
I guess, yeah. But I mean, it doesn't seem like the 360 is the console with the biggest problem selling games right now. Actually, I think it's the opposite. I think 360 is doing the best right now.
I think despite what everyone thinks, I think the Wii is having problems selling games.
Yeah, no, I definitely do too. I mean, it was a huge thing for the first like 2, 3 years or so, but I think it's starting to hurt, and I think Nintendo's starting to realize that
Well, see, here's the thing is
they
that
can't Here's one thing. I said it before and I said it again. You can't ride the casual
No,
market.
exactly.
You can't ride the casual market because you can't depend on them to buy a lot of video games.
There's a reason why
Not right now, anyway.
they're called the casual market, and it's because they don't play all the time. Duh.
Exactly. They sold a ton of Wiis. You know why they sold that many Wiis? Because everybody wanted to play Wii Sports.
That's exactly what it was.
What do you think people are going to do once Wii Sports gets boring? A lot of the casual gamers are just going to let the Wii sit up in their closet collecting dust. They're not going to go out and invest more money. It's the hardcore gamers that are going to be the ones that go out and invest more money. It's working for Nintendo now, but it's not going to work forever. And I think Nintendo should not dismiss their hardcore market because it's really going to hurt them in the future.
That actually reminds me of an episode of the old One Up Show where they had just gotten a demo of PlayStation Home, and the guy he had on his monitor, he had a PlayStation Home, and then he hit the input button and it switched to 360, and he's like, "Dude, check out my PS3 Home, dude, versus my Xbox 360 avatar." And he's like, "What about your Wii? Your me?" And he's like, "My me? I think that dude starved to death like 5 months ago."
It's
Like.
so true. I mean, nobody cares, but I haven't made a me in like 2 years.
Exactly.
I mean, it was cool when you first opened it out of the box, but I mean,
Look how many
after since
combinations
then,
of squinty eyes
like,
and look how many combinations of squinty eyes and tree-like noses I can make.
exactly. Like, I mean, it's only fun for so long,
Right. But
but.
we were just talking about we don't like shafting video game developers, but you know who likes shafting video game players? Xbox. So their next update is going to have games on demand, Netflix parties, and Avatar Marketplace in the Xbox Live. Now, one thing I'm kind of pissed off about is the fact that so they introduced avatars in this next update, you're going to get new avatar clothes you have to pay for, and they can be from anywhere between $1 and $4. And seriously, okay, one, you don't have to pay for extra, actually there is no extra stuff, but with the Wii, you get a lot of stuff for your Mii you don't have to pay for. And when Tyler was on, he told us that with the PS3, those Sony Home, it was like 50 cents for something. So why is Xbox going charging $1 to $4 for one freaking article of virtual clothing?
Yeah. I mean, Xbox does have the online market right now. Xbox Live is
Oh
fantastic.
my God, yeah.
But I mean, it is expensive. I mean, not overly expensive, but it is the only one right now that asks for that much money.
Yeah.
So, I
And
don't
then
know.
with all the Netflix parties, this seems kind of cool at first, and then you think about it and you're like, no. And basically it is if you have a Netflix account and you have Netflix on your 360, you can invite your friends to watch a movie with you, and like at the bottom of the screen, it's gonna be like a theater. Like you'll see people's avatars at the bottom. You can like literally, it says you can like throw popcorn around and stuff like that at people. And at first, you're like, "Hey, that's a real theater experience." And then like if it's like a pivotal moment in the Matrix where you're having a kung fu and someone throws like popcorn around, yeah, not cool.
Yeah, I don't know. It could be kind of cool though.
And then they're going to have games on demand, which is basically you can download ex they're basically getting rid of the Xbox Live Classic games, which basically was all Xbox games like Halo and Fable and stuff like that. And they're just going to switch it off with like actual 360 games, which it sounds kind of cool, but seriously, those games are really, really like that's a huge space. Like see, it's
Yeah.
like 7 gigabytes per game.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I don't
and
know.
what?
What else we got, Cody?
Okay, one of the last stories. There is a company in the UK that is going to archive the video game history. And basically, what they're trying to do is they're going to be getting everything that they can. And they're going to be archiving it, and not like in a museum where they're going to put it like behind glass and just let you look at it. Like I actually went to their website, and they actually have like exhibits of like old computers running video games that you can actually go up and play. They have like entire like kiosks with like the original Microsoft Flight Simulator on a computer. It's pretty cool stuff. And what they're also going to have is they're asking game developers and game companies to help them out. So like Harmonix gave them like the first prototype of the Rock Band guitar. They got the original PlayStation, what is it, the iToy, and it actually has the number one engraved on it for the first one there. And then what they're also going to have is they're going to have game companies come in, and it's basically going to be like a commentary. Like, they'll play the game and they'll talk about the process they went through to play the game, and like you'll be able to watch videos about them talking about the game. They're also asking for like bits and pieces of stuff that weren't included in games, almost like bonus footage from a DVD, so that they can show off. This really is like an archive of the video game industry, and it's really cool. Like, one of them here, they have like a it's like the original Donkey Kong style DS, which is pretty badass. They just have some ridiculous amounts of stuff, and it's pretty awesome.
I noticed one cool thing. I was reading further down in the article. They talk about how they've done a lot of stuff with developer commentaries with gameplay footage.
Yeah.
And one of them that they're talking about is GoldenEye 007 for the N64.
I was happy when they announced that too.
And they're interviewing Rare's David Doak, which, if any of you crazy GoldenEye players remember playing the game, David Doak, one of the people at Rare, was actually made into a character in the game for one of the levels in the game, and you had to like interact with him, and he gave you something. He was like a scientist. It was so I thought that was pretty cool that he comes back after all these years.
That is really cool. And I got to say, Nick, I know we were talking the other day about a trip to Europe. The doors open to this archive in 2011. We have to go.
Oh man, that'd be awesome.
Like open to the public in 2011.
That is cool.
We have to go.
All
We're
right, where else
going to
we got?
London.
We can go to Liverpool.
Yes, I got blisters on my fingers from the damn keyboard.
Yes.
Okay, this next one is Rock Band's network is going to allow anyone to put music onto Rock Band. Now, Nick, since I explained all the articles today, you explain this one.
All right, yeah. Rock Band is getting user-made tracks. According to Harmonix, it's going to be Xbox exclusive for at least a little while, but you're going to actually be able to submit your own music to Rock Band to be playable in game. So like local bands and stuff like that can get some of their music and pop it onto the Rock Band music store for other people to download. And you can choose the price of the song anywhere from I think 55 cents to like $2 or
It was
something like
50
that.
cents to $3.
Yeah. And you get 30% of the profit, which I think is really, really cool. But it sounds a lot more complicated than it actually is.
Yeah, when I first heard this, I was like, that's great. This is probably going to be a free service. And then Nick had to go and tell me it's not.
Yeah, so according to GameSpot anyway, users are going to have to pay for a program called the Reaper Digital Audio Workstation, in which you'll be able to take your music and add Rock Band note charts to it for each instrument. Then you have to upload your song as well as the note chart to Xbox, to this new thing called Xbox 360's XNA Creators Club. And
Which, like, what? I've never heard of that before.
it seems like a new thing that they're trying to get going for developers, right? In which there's a $49.99 4-month membership or $99.99 annual membership for to join. From there, it'll go through review from other members of the community, and it whichever ones get like the most votes or the biggest acceptance or whatever. Then it will get put on Rock Band. So there is a lot of work that goes into getting your own Rock Band track on the game, particularly because Reaper Digital Audio Workstation costs $225, plus you have to get a membership to the Creators Club, which is another at least $49.99 for 4 months. So, I mean, if you want to try to get your own local band music on this game, you have to be dead serious about it. It's not something that you just do randomly one day. I
Right.
mean, you have to seriously want it up there, and it seriously has to be good quality music in order for it to get released into the Rock Band store.
Yeah, and I know one thing that I didn't realize until you were reading that through again is the fact that your song might not even go up if it's not good enough.
Exactly. And then you spend all that money and stuff for nothing.
Right.
So I don't know if this is going to take off like Harmonix thinks it might take off, or if it's even going to expand onto the PS3 and eventually the Wii. But
No,
I don't know.
they
We'll
said
have to.
they said the most popular of all the tracks that actually get on the Xbox Live Marketplace will go to PS3 and Wii.
Oh, will it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they said that Harmonix said they did this to combat the GH Tunes that's available in Guitar Hero. But I gotta say, GH Tunes is free with the game. Like
Yeah.
it might not be
But
the
like
greatest
well,
creator.
I agree. I know what you're saying, but GH Tunes is kind of a joke, you
Oh
have to
yeah, it is.
admit.
It is. It is.
So, I mean this is like serious business stuff, but I mean I don't know how many bands are gonna be willing to go through all that money and effort in
Right.
order to possibly get their song into Rock
Oh,
Band.
exactly. And then they only get 30% of the cut of the sales, which not that much for the entry price.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they'll ever make up the cost of the entry price with that.
No. Actually, we know someone who has been working with this on Harmonix. Maybe we can get an interview with him. We'll
Yeah, I don't
plan to let
know.
him know.
We're gonna have to talk to him about that.
Yeah. Oh, we went to school with his sister, so we'll talk to him about that. But yeah, that'd be pretty cool. And I think we're done. I
I
think
think
we're
we
done.
are done too.
You want to follow me on Twitter? It's at TheBeast33. I normally post links to our other blog every day. That's the college-gamers.blogspot.com. You can find a link to there on the brpodcast.blogspot.com, which is where you will find all the show notes to this. And you got any emails to send us? Just send them to thebrpodcast@gmail.com. And you know what? I think that's gonna do it. Have a terrific week.
You too.